The following is a lecture entitled Glories of the Holy Name, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 25th, 2009, in Govinda Valley, Australia.
So in this session, we will study more. It's titled here, Setting the Mood, the Glories of a Holy Name. What is suited for this age? Vedic references, verses, and pastimes. This session will go for an hour and a half, or an hour and 15 minutes more, till 11:30. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zabadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, why Hare Krishna? Do we chant Hare Krishna because we're the Hare Krishna people? No, that would be a cult. We're not a cult. So why do we chant Hare Krishna? I mean, there's so many different names of God. Why these particular names? I mean, why not Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? Why do we this particular mantra? You see? Was this Prabhupada's idea that, you know, Was this Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakura's idea? Whose idea was it that we do Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare? Is it Lord Chaitanya's idea? And where did it come from? Why this particular thing? There's so many mantras, millions of mantras. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate. There's so many nice mantras. Why this mantra? Well, that answer is given in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. It is stated there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti Sodashakam Nam Nam, Kali Kalmasya Nashanam, Nata Parataropaya Sarva Vedeshu Drishyate. After searching through all the Vedic literature, one cannot find a method of religion more sublime for this age than the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, our movement is based on the authority of the Kali Santarana Upanishad. Now, some people say that, well, why not Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Because there's one edition of the Kali Santarana Upanishad in which the verse is given in that order. The mantra is given in the reversed order. They say, well, that Lord Chaitanya reversed it. But actually, there are other editions of the Kali Santarana Upanishad that are more authoritative. which state Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And it is being confirmed by Lord Chaitanya chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the most empowered acharya of the modern age for spreading Krishna's mercy all over the world, who chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, that is our mantra. All right, so that settles that. It is so much glorified, actually. There are many, many verses. It's stated in the 11th canto, chapter 5, text 36 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that those who are advanced and highly qualified and are interested in the essence of life know the good qualities of Kali Yuga. Such people worship the age of Kali. Because in this age, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can advance in spiritual knowledge and attain life goal. They actually worship. This is the best of all ages. We may say, oh, this is a horrible age. There's terrorism, there's global warming, there's pollution, there's crime. It's so sinful. It's the most horrible age. It's so depressing age. But actually, why do these personalities worship this age as being the best age? Because it's the first class opportunity to fix the mind on Krishna and get out quickly. You see? It's also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 3, text number 5, My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. It is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So we read again and again throughout. It's just there are verse after verse after verse after verse. Lord Chaitanya is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. My dear Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, know for me that chanting of the holy names is the most feasible means of salvation in this age of Kali. It's stated in the Narayan Samhita, Dva Pariyar Janai Vishnu, Pancharatraistuke Valai, Kalau Tu Nama Mantraina, Pujate Bhagavan Hari. In the Dwarpa Yuga, people should worship Lord Vishnu only by the regulated principles of the Narada Pancharatra and other such authorized books. In the age of Kali, however, people should simply chant the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here's another nice verse. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the King Prataparudra. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, This sweet transcendental sound is a special creation of the Lord known as Prema Sankirtan, congregational chanting and love of Godhead. In this age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended to preach the religion of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna is the religious principle for this age. Anyone who worships Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by congregational chanting should be understood to be very intelligent. One who does not do so must be considered a victim of this age and bereft of all intelligence. So you can either be a victim or you can be a survivor. It's like back to the example of the Titanic, you see. There were survivors and there were victims. So each one of us has our choice. You want to be a victim or you want to be a survivor? We can be victimized by this age, carried away by material desires. You see, that is victim. Dragged down to the lower species of life. Or we can take advantage of the special mercy of this age to very easily awaken the dormant, enlightened consciousness within the heart and be a survivor, be a victor. Yatra yogeshvara krishno, yatra parto dhanur dadaha, tatra shir vajayo bhutir driva nitir matir mama. The very last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be a victory, extraordinary power, opulence, and morality. That is my opinion, Sanjaya said. So, how do we invoke that presence of Krishna and the great devotees of Krishna? How do we invoke their presence? The Gita is telling us, if we can have that presence, then we will have everything. Tatta shrir, we will have opulence, we will have victory, we will have extraordinary power and morality. These four things. Wherever Krishna is present. So, the name of Krishna is so nice thing. Of course, Krishna is present in the deity form, but we are not able to simply stay serving the deity hand and foot 24 hours a day. We have work to do, earnings to live, livings to earn, I mean to say. We have the so much things we need to be doing besides simply worshipping the deity hand and foot 24 hours a day. So in this age, it's not practical for everyone to do deity worship. But by Krishna's mercy, he has appeared in the form of his holy name, and we can take advantage of that presence. And in this way, have everything, opulence, extraordinary power, victory and morality. Everything will be there. We simply have to take advantage of Krishna's most merciful manifestation in the form of the holy name. Now some people say, well, you know, when I chant, I like to think about different pastimes. Instead of focusing on the name, I just want to think about Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill or stealing the clothes from the gopi girls. This is what this my mind can be absorbed in, but not just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I find the name alone to be boring, and I need to spice it up, my meditation up with some other things. But you know what? Everything is there in the name. Every one of Krishna's pastimes is happening right now there within his name. All of his qualities, all of his devotees, everything is right there in the name. So, keep bringing the mind back to that sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the key how to advance very nicely in Krishna consciousness. Keep bringing your mind back again to the name, back again to the name. And then everything will come automatically. Krishna's pastimes, you'll learn how to relish Krishna's pastimes with great delight. His qualities, his devotees, everything. There's a very nice bhajan here by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, glorifying the holy name. It's very beautiful, nice bhajan. Gai Gauramadhur Svare, Gai Gauramadhur Svare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gai Goromadhur Sare Grihe Tako Vane Tako Sadahari bole dako grihe tako vane tako sadahari bole dako sukhe dukhe bulo nako varane hari nam koro re Sukhe dukhe bulo nako Varane hari nam koro re. He's singing, whether you are a householder or a sannyasi, grihe tako vane tako, sada hari bole tako, constantly chant Hare Krishna. Sukhe dukhe bulo nako varane hari nam koro re. Do not forget this chanting. Whether you're in a happy condition or a distressful one, just fill your lips with Harinam. Gai Gauramada Madhur Svare, Lord Gorsundar sings in a very sweet voice, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maya jale badhai hoye, acho mitche kajaloye. Maya jale badhai hoye. Acho miche kajaloye ekono chetana peye Radhav Madhav nam bolore ekono chetana peye Radhav Madhav nam bolore gai. Now you are bound up in the network of Maya and are forced to toil fruitlessly. Now you have obtained full consciousness in the human form of life. So chant the names of Radha Madhav. Jivana hoilo shesh Nabajile rishikesh Jivana hoilo shesh Nabajile rishikesh Bhakti vinodupadesh Ekbar damrase matore Bhakti vinodupadesh Ekbar nam rase mato re ghai. Your life may end in any moment, and you have not served the Lord of the senses, Rishikesha. Take this advice of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Just once relish the nectar of the holy name. Gai Gauramadhur Svare Gai Gauramadhur Svare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gai Gora Madhur Stavre, Gai Gora Madhur Stavre.
These Vaishnava songwriters, they've given us such nice treasures, you see. We can meditate. And mature world people can go on for hours listening to music, you see. Or making music also, musicians, they have their jam sessions, you know. They go on for hours and hours and hours making music or listening to music. So our acharyas have given us so nice songs. We can just take these songs and just go deep into that ocean of Namaras, you see. Such a nice thing, this Hare Krishna mantra. Lord Gaurasankara is singing in his sweet voice. Why does it say sweet voice? Well, of course, everything about Krishna is sweet. It is not bitter, you see. Krishna is ultra sweet. And everything he does, as Krishna or as Lord Chaitanya, it is super, super sweet. So, just imagine when the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his most merciful manifestation of Lord Chaitanya is singing the holy names, how sweet it must be, just oozing, every syllable is oozing with unlimited oceans of honey, if you can imagine what it must have been like to be there with hear Lord Chaitanya singing. You can just imagine what it was like, you see. And someday we can actually qualify ourselves and actually hear Lord Chaitanya singing, you see. We become completely pure. We will be able to directly hear with our own ears Lord Chaitanya singing sweetly the Hare Krishna mantra. So it's worthy all the austerities we do of getting up early in the morning, taking that early shower, putting tilak on, putting devotional clothes on, trying to get those rounds done every day without fail. It's worth all the austerities that someday we'll be able to directly hear Lord Chaitanya singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhakti, even though it isn't uptight, you see. I only associate with sannyasis. No. I don't care if you're grihetako, vanetako. Whether you're one of those grihastas, city dwellers, you're one of those forest dwellers, the sannyasis, you see. It doesn't matter to me. Whether you're vanaprastha, sannyasi, brahmachari, householder, whatever you are, I don't care what color dhoti you wear, whether you wear a sari or a dhoti, it doesn't matter. Everybody who's chanting the holy names is my association. Actually, this is Bhaktivinoda singing. Yes, these are words. So Bhaktivinoda is very happy to have your association. Doesn't matter externally what you may be, but just let your lips be full. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So then our position of being entangled, you see, we are prisoners. We are prisoners in Maya's prison, the dungeon of Maya. We are chained by lust. We are chained to the walls of the dungeon by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, you see. Being forced to toil fruitlessly every Monday morning, you see. We go on for hours and 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 hours. Toiling, 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 toiling. For what? To pay for a place so you can sleep at night and go back and toil and toil and toil and toil and toil and toil again the next day.
You see, the whole life just toiling away, toiling away, toiling away, fruitlessly. You see, because they don't, with no Krishna bhakti, then what are they getting? They are saving up for my retirement. By the time you're old enough to retire, you have your senses are totally worn out. There's no enjoyment left. As long as they can get some productive work out of you, they want to keep you toiling. And when you can't work anymore, all right, now retirement. So if your only enjoyment is the enjoyment of the senses, then your life is fruitless. You see, it's fruitless life. But, in other words, you are a victim. But if you've actually taken that shelter of Radha Madhav, you see, Radha Krishna, you see, then you're advancing every day. You're awakening that unlimited reservoir of pleasure within the heart, you see. Now we are living in the desert-like condition, you see. There's no juice. Simply toiling, 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 toiling. But by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we are drilling down deep within, drilling, 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 drilling. Even in the most desert place of the world, if you drill deep enough, you will hit water, you see. So we're drilling, drilling, drilling. Every day this is our drilling operation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Drilling deep within our psyche, deep within our consciousness, deeper, 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 until finally you hit water, you see. You get through all those layers of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, thick, 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 hard layers. And finally you get there, the pure bhakti within your heart. And then the gusher comes gushing up. That's called bhava, the bhava stage. When it comes gushing up and floods your consciousness, that's called the bhava stage. So that will come, you see. We have to go step by step. The first thing is you have to have faith in the process. Second step, you have to associate with devotees. The third step is you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, follow the rules and regulations of the Bhakti Yoga system. Then the next step is anartanavritti. The dirt starts to get cleansed out. Now the cleansing is happening, cleaning out the dirt, cleaning out the dirt. And as your heart becomes clean, you become very strong and very steady, you see, like a rock, very solid in bhakti. And then from that solid position, then you start to experience the most sublime, wonderful taste, you see, which becomes an absolute addiction gradually. That's called the asakti stage. When you become absolutely addicted to the name, you see. And then the gush comes, bhava stage. The gush comes up. The volcanic eruption of bhakti from within comes. And then there's so many ecstatic symptoms in the body. And then finally prema, when you become fully reestablished in your eternal relationship with Krishna. So, and then Bhaktivinoda is advising us, he's warning us, jivana hoilo shesh. You see? Jivana hoilo shesh. Shesh means end. At any moment, your life can end. At any moment, you see? So, I always advise, live each day as if it's your last day. If this is the last day on the planet, you knew you were going to die this afternoon. What would you do? You see? Can anybody of you guarantee you won't die this afternoon? Does anybody guarantee? So, you should live each day as in full Krishna consciousness. That's the point. I'm not saying to abandon your... Someone can say, well, if I'm dying this afternoon, why bother paying my rent? You know, just let everything slide. But no, you have to work it from both ends. The 80-year plan and the 80-second plan. Work it from both ends. Live your life as if you have 80 seconds left to live and 80 years left to live. Do both at the same time. That's the proper way to do it. Yes. 80 years and 80 seconds. Live your life as if either one can... may happen, and you prepare for either one. And then you're in good shape. I really like what Bhaktivinoda is so intelligently advising. Ekbar nama rase matore. Just once relish the nectar of the holy name. In other words, he's not saying, well, now I'm telling you right now, you have to dedicate your whole life to chanting the holy name, 24 hours a day. You say, what? How could I possibly do that? He said, don't worry. Just once relish the nectar of the name. That's his only advice. I want you just one time to relish the nectar of the holy name. Because once you get that, that's it. Once you really relish it, you're not going to, it's the sweetest, once you get the sweetest nectar, you become absolutely addicted, you see. So his advice is just relish it once. I just want you one time to really taste the nectar of the holy name, because then everything comes. Yeah, I love these songs. I'm always inclined toward the Vaishnava songs. I haven't been a songwriter before. I wrote 300 songs before I joined the movement, and they were all garbage. And that's where they ended up. I took all 300 songs and put them in the garbage can behind the temple. These are real songs by these realized acharyas who can see Krishna at every minute. You see. When they write songs, they're just unlimited. Prabhupada told me they're as good as Vedas, you see. These songwriters, every word is as good as Veda. They're able to take the vast ocean of Vedic wisdom and put it in a little tiny capsule of a Vaishnava song, and it's just so unlimitedly full of transcendental nectar and transcendental significance. So, does anybody have any questions? Yeah. Guru Mataji. Should not do what?
We should not relish the holy name.
No, I don't. Not that's not exactly what I said. No.
But here, Bhaktivinoda says, at least relish it one time.
Yeah. So, I'd never say do not relish the holy name. But I say don't simply try to be the enjoyer of a name. There's a subtle difference there. Many people say, when I first started chanting Hare Krishna, I tasted so much nectar, but now I'm not tasting the nectar anymore. So why is that? How can I taste the nectar? And I always tell them, don't try to taste the nectar, try to give the nectar. In other words, Krishna consciousness is the process of becoming the secondary enjoyer. In material consciousness, we try to be the primary enjoyer. And sometimes you can think you're enjoying. It's called Maya Sukaya. And a lot of times you realize, hey, this isn't working out the way I wanted it to. So that's trying to be the primary enjoyer. It's an artificial position because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, you see. He is the supreme enjoyer, param enjoyer. So instead of trying to enjoy the holy name, try to say the holy name in such a way that Krishna will enjoy it. In other words, try to chant to please Krishna. Even if you're not tasting any nectar from the name, try to say the name in such a way that Krishna will relish your chanting. Because as soon as you do that, that's when you relish it. So in other words, I don't say don't try to relish the name, but I say be intelligent about it. Understand how you can actually get unlimited nectar from the name by giving pleasure to Krishna, by chanting in a mood of love and devotion. Prabhupada says, like a little child crying for the mother. You see. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Call out for Mother Hara and Father Krishna, you see. Mother Hara, that's Srimati Radharani. We're calling out to Radharani and we're calling out to Krishna like a helpless child. You see? If in that gives them, just like the parents, they relish very much to hear the voice of the small children calling out for mother and father. It gives great happiness to the parents. So in this way, if people chant Hare Krishna, like a child crying out for mother and crying for our father, then Krishna will very much like to hear the way we are chanting, and that will give us the happiness. We can only actually truly enjoy the holy name to the extent that Krishna enjoys our chanting, the way that we chant. He can hear. Krishna can hear your rounds every day, how you're chanting. He hears how you're uttering his name. He's omniscient. He's absolutely aware of everything that's going on everywhere, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So just try to chant in such a way that Krishna will very much appreciate your tone, your mood and with which you're chanting. And then you will derive unlimited nectar from every syllable, as described by Rupa Goswami. Any other questions? Yeah.
When you're a neophyte devotee, sometimes when you're chanting, do you manufacture the happiness in your mind, or is it always coming from you?
Manufacture
the happiness that you're getting from chanting?
Yes. Sometimes we imagine our happiness based on some material situation, and then that's called illusory happiness. And then when that situation is removed, then our so-called happiness is also removed. So what is the question?
The question was, when you're a neophyte devotee, I'm just trying to work out if am I really feeling it from Krishna, or is it the manifestation of my own?
Well, just try to, instead of trying to see, just always try to offer whatever happiness you're feeling or think you may be feeling, whatever you have, offer it back to Krishna. That's the key. Don't worry about whether you're happy or not. Devotee doesn't care whether he's happy or not. He just wants to see that Krishna is pleased. You know that story of the gopis? Krishna had a headache, and he told his devotees, I need the dust from the feet of my devotees. That will cure my headache. Please go to my devotees and ask them for the dust. Ask them for the dust from their feet. So the messenger went to some smarter brahmanas, followers of the Vedic rituals, or the rules and regulations. And he said, Krishna has a headache. Please give your foot dust so that Krishna can have his headache cured. They said, what? If the dust from our feet goes on the head of Bhagavan, we will go to hell forever. That's a very offensive thing. How you can ask us to do such an offensive thing? So the messenger thought, well, looks like I came to the wrong place. He went on down the road. He finally came to Vrindavan Forest, and there were the gopis. And he said, Krishna has a headache. He's asked for the foot dust from his devotees to cure his headache. Can you give? Immediately you're willing to give. And he was surprised. They were so eager to give. He said, aren't you afraid of going to hell? They said, that's all right. We just want Krishna's headache to be cured. So actually a devotee, he doesn't think, am I happy now or am I miserable now? No. He just wants to know, am I pleasing Krishna right now? That's his selfless mood. He's thinking of Krishna's happiness instead of his own happiness. And therefore he is truly happy at every minute. You see, as soon as I start worrying about, am I happy now? Am I tasting the nectar now? You're getting off the track because you're seeing yourself as the center of enjoyment. You see, but as soon as you can say, it doesn't matter whether I'm happy or sad. Just let Krishna be pleased. Is Krishna pleased? As soon as you think that way, then immediately you're in a transcendental mood. So the key is, train yourself to always think of Krishna as the primary enjoyer and you as the secondary enjoyer. And even if you're unhappy, it's okay as long as Krishna is happy.
That's what counts. So there, one who's in fully, purely in that mood, they're always happy in every situation. They can be anywhere and everywhere. From their perspective, Krishna can do anything he wants. Whatever Krishna does is all right. Doesn't matter. In this connection, there is an interesting story. There was one king, he had a prime minister. And this prime minister was very Krishna conscious. The prime minister used to always say, whatever Krishna does is all right. So one day the king cut off his finger, you see. And he was so disturbed, and the prime minister said, don't worry, your majesty, whatever Krishna does is all right. He said, what are you talking about? What is that nonsense? I lost my finger, you're saying it's all right? In the dungeon, you rascal. He locked up the prime minister in the dungeon, stripped him of his power, and threw him in the darkest, dirtiest, nastiest corner of the dungeon with the rats. So anyway, you know, in those days, the Kshatriyas, they would go on hunting expeditions. Because when the enemy attacks, they must lead the battle. Not that they sit in the palace and send the soldiers out like pawns and to be slaughtered on the battlefield. The king himself would lead the fight. They were chivalrous warriors, these kings. So to keep their killing skills hot, they would go hunting. They would go to the forest and personally kill the wild animals to protect the sages from being harassed by the wild animals. So the king, he went on a hunting expedition, and some dacoits, followers of Goddess Kali, they captured him. Their practice was to make human sacrifice to Goddess Kali. And they said, this looks like a good human. We'll offer him to this aristocratic human being. We'll offer him, oh, a king. We'll offer him to Goddess Kali. We'll get special blessings from Goddess Kali. So they are getting him all ready for the sacrifice. Give him his last meal, everything. But then they noticed, oh my goodness, he's missing a finger. Can't offer him to Goddess Kali. She'll be furious. So, oh yeah, you can go. He was so happy. Oh, my prime minister was right. I mean, what's it, you know, I can spare a finger, but my life was saved. And he was so happy and he felt so bad. Oh, what I did to my prime minister. I just punished him. Forgive me for speaking the truth. So he went back to the dungeon and went down there, personally went to release the prime minister in that dark, damp, dirty, deepest region of the prison with all the rats running around. He went in there, and there the prime minister was in total bliss. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And he said, aren't you angry at me? He said, no, your majesty. Whenever you go on those hunting expeditions, you always take me with you, and I have all my fingers. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So in this way, it's a jolly story, but it's a very serious lesson, you see. You have to always see the loving hand of Krishna, the arrangement of Krishna in all circumstances. Sometimes it just seems unfair. Why was it treated this way? Why did it happen like this? I don't deserve this. But wait a minute. Everything that's coming to us is all coming by the arrangement of Krishna, either through his material energy or his spiritual energy. But in either case, it is Krishna's arrangement. So whatever Krishna does is all right. Whatever situation he puts me in, that's okay. I'll accept it. And I surrender to you, my Lord, in this situation. You honor me? All right. I won't take that honor personally. I'll offer it all to my spiritual master. I take that honor as Krishna's mercy, and I offer it to my Guru Maharaj. Or if you chastise me for being a rascal, all right, I accept it. That's also Krishna's mercy. It helps me to become more humble, become more qualified to dive into the ocean of the name. So in this way, whatever mindset set is there, use it to help yourself advance in Krishna consciousness. If you're feeling happy, then thank Krishna for your happiness. If you're feeling miserable, then thank Krishna for the misery also. Because he's helping you to realize this material life has nothing to offer. He's helping you to realize it. So in this way, take take every situation, happiness, distress, or confusion about whether you're happy or distressed. Take it all as the mercy of Krishna and offer it in his service. And you'll be in good shape, I guarantee you. You'll be in good shape. You'll start to taste real nectar day in and day out. You get to the point where it's just like, see, right now we're in the clouds. Just like you go to, one day you go, I'm flying out somewhere on the airplane, you know. And it's a dirty, it's a gray, dreary, rainy, nasty winter day. I mean, horrible, depressing day, you see. You get on that airplane, you know, you sit on, you buckle up. The pilot revs the engines, you know, and then take off down the lane. All of a sudden, you know, you go up. All of a sudden, you go through the clouds, and it's a beautiful sunny day. You go, wow. That's amazing. I thought it was so depressing, but it's a beautiful day up here. Wow, it's great. The beautiful day was there the whole time. It's just you were covered by the clouds, you see. So we're giving you the airplane. It's called Mantra Vimana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We're giving you pilot lessons. We're training each of you how to be pilot, how to get on that airplane and take control of it. It's called Goswami, you see. One who knows the art of how to control the airplane of the mind. You see. How to utilize that airplane of the mind to fly, to penetrate through the coverings, the material coverings, tamagun, sattvagun, rajagun. So we're training you. That is the spiritual master's duty. He trains the disciple how to fly his own airplane, how to go beyond the clouds and actually fly in the beautiful Vaikuntha skies, you see. So anyway, any other questions? Yes. Yes. Whatever suffering you're going through, of three varieties, adiyatmic, adibodhic, or adiyatmic, it's all due to past sinful activities. You think, why this person's being so cruel to me? But actually, they are simply the messengers, they are the FedEx or the DHL delivery person for your own previous sinful activities. That's all. You can't blame them. Why is this person torturing me? But actually, you tortured someone else previously. And now they're delivering your karma to you, that's all. So therefore, a devotee doesn't have any grudge against anyone. He feels, I deserve much worse. But Krishna has minimized, out of his kindness, he has minimized my sinful reactions. There's a beautiful verse in this connection, if I can remember it. Let's see, how does that go? Very nice verse. Remember how that begins? Just the first couple of words would be enough to trigger my memory. Tate nukampam susamikshavano bunjanna evatma kritam vabakam tadvagvapu vividadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bak. My dear Lord, those persons who were constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who were constantly offering you respectful obeisances from within the innermost cores of their hearts, seeing everything simply as a reaction for their past sinful activities, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So, these great transcendentalists, they see everything as Krishna's mercy. The good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. It's all Krishna's mercy, and they're thanking Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. They're constantly offering obeisances to Krishna in the middle of all of these karmic reactions. In such persons, they already have their ticket to Goloka Vrindavan, confirmed ticket right there in their hand. They got the confirmed seat on the Vaikuntha airplane. So, we have to, it is called Shastric vision. We have to learn how to see through the eyes of Scripture, not through the eyes of ahankar, my false ego, my false pride. See, we have to see through the eyes of Scripture. And then we'll always be cool-headed, you see. Keep cool. We'll always be cool-headed by seeing everything through Shastric vision. Next question? Yeah.
But Maharaj, the situations get imposed. In the office, the boss can really get on top of you and create unfair things.
Yes. So, if the boss says something unfair to you, that means you said unfair things previously and now you're getting your reaction, that's all. If you are being abused in the office, that means you previously abused someone in an office and now you're burning off your reactions. Now, if you think, well, okay, I'm being abused, so let me, my supervisor is abusing me, so I'm going to abuse the people that are under me and get a little revenge by at least abusing someone here. Or maybe the dog out back or something, I got to abuse somebody now to get so I don't feel so bad. That's what people do. When they're abused, they turn around and abuse somebody else, you see. But the thing is, actually, one tolerates and accepts it as Krishna's blessing. Without giving it to somebody else, let the chain of abuse stop with me. I'll break the chain by just accepting and tolerating it as Krishna's mercy. And this way, I don't become implicated. And I become, then gradually, as all of my sinful reactions are burned off, then I don't get abused so much anymore, you see. I'm just burning off my own past sinful activities. And if I increase my surrender, my absorption in Krishna consciousness, then I won't have to personally experience them anymore also. You see? Just by taking, the more qualitatively I chant Hare Krishna mantra, just by that chanting I become relieved of so many sinful reactions. You may say, but those who are in Krishna are not initiated yet, but it's said at initiation, the guru takes your karma, so why am I getting reactions? I got adiksha, I'm still getting reactions, what's going on here? When you get initiated, 99% of your karma is taken off, but you still got that 1%. Prabhupada compares it to a fan. You see, when you pull the whirling fan, when you pull the plug on the fan, you see, that's when you get initiated and you take shelter of Guru. But there's still some momentum from the previous whirling, and that you have to endure even after initiation. Of course, if you're strictly following the principles, you're chanting 16 rounds and following the principles, then you've already pulled the plug on the fan. But when you get initiated, it'll become even more powerful. So the key is, take it as Krishna's mercy. Now, sometimes you may, if people are taking unfair advantage of you, then you may have to sometimes show some strength also. Like that cobra, he became a devotee of Narad Muni, and he formerly was harassing the villagers, scaring them like anything with his cobra activities. So the little children, they took advantage, oh, he's become a devotee, now we'll throw rocks at him and torture him. So he asked Narada what to do. They're torturing me. I'm Vaishnava now. They know I won't bite. What to do? They're making my life horrible. I can't even chant peacefully. He said, well, show your hoods, but don't bite. So a devotee may sometimes have to show some strength so that others don't take advantage of him. Oh, this person's very meek and humble. Let's crush him. Ha, ha, ha. So the devotee may sometimes have to show his strength, you see. But his mood is one of tolerance. His mood is always one of tolerance. Any other questions? Yeah.
Thanks for the nice class. Just had a question. You are referring to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's verses. And where you mentioned that we need to release the nectar once, that's fine. But we have a tendency to forget, that that's one of the defects we have. So I release and then I forget. So how do I
Well, I can tell you this, Adi Purusha Das, that if you forgot, you didn't really fully relish it yet. Your relish, you're not, it's a partial relishing you're getting, you're forgetting. When you fully relish the holy name, you will never forget. It's like having, it's just like when Narada Muni, as a little, he got the darshan of Krishna, you may remember in the Bhagavatam. He briefly got the darshan of Krishna. And then he became mad after getting that darshan again. He never forgot that moment of Krishna's darshan. So what's, when Bhaktivedanta says, relish the holy name here, we're talking about an experience tantamount to seeing Krishna face to face, eye to eye. Really, really relishing the holy name. Such an experience will never be forgotten. So right now we're learning how to relish the holy name. We're neophyte students learning how to relish the holy name. We haven't gotten there yet. We haven't achieved Namaruchi yet. But we're learning. We're getting little sneak previews sometimes. And we do forget those. Krishna gives us a little nectar here, a little nectar there. The other day I really tasted sweet nectar. I wish I had recorded it. I remember one of my disciple, Vrajakishore, was there. He said that he really especially relished the Kirtan. I think it was last Sunday morning in Pune. And I was having I had been diagnosed with pneumonia, and I was thinking that how can I travel like this, you know? Maybe Krishna's going to force me just to stay and go back to Austin and just stay there, you know, not travel anymore. And it was just breaking my heart, you know, because I mean, pneumonia is pretty serious. You can die from pneumonia, you know. I mean, they didn't, the chest x-ray, they found pneumonia in my lungs, you know. And I was thinking, I'm so fired up to travel around and preach. And I was thinking, this may be my last time. Maybe Krishna is going to force me to just retire from traveling and stay in Austin. But here I am now, and there's like 300 devotees there. And everybody was in the mood for chanting. And I was in the mood chanting, and I was chanting in this mood that Krishna, I wanted to show Krishna. I wanted to chant so nicely that would inspire everyone so much that Krishna would be forced to let me keep traveling and preaching. It's like, if you can chant like that, then all right, I'll give you the bodily strength so you can do that. It's just like one time when Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was the GBC of India, and he, Prabhupada, totally depended on him to manage India. But he was tired of being a GBC manager in India. He heard about Vishnu Janaswamy's Radharamadar traveling Sankirtan party in the U.S., and he had all these ideas of how he could expand it more and more from one bus, you know. He had all these, you know, transcendental schemes that he was just itching to get out there and put into practice. So he convinced Prabhupada to give him a temporary leave of absence to preach in North America, to give up his GBC position in India. So, but then Prabhupada was meeting him in Berkeley, and he knew Prabhupada was going to ask him now to come back to India, and he wasn't. So lastly, he wanted to stay there on the preaching field. So Prabhupada was putting it to him, all right. But then he was prepared. He had all these men who had just attracted. He had them all come in, shaved up brahmacharis, brand new recruits, to show what I'm doing here. And he had them come in just at the right time. He had them waiting outside the door for the right moment in the conversation. And then he called them in and showed Prabhupada, this is what I'm doing in my preaching. And Prabhupada said, all right, you can stay in North America. So I was feeling like that. Let me chant with so much feeling and put so much love into this kirtan that Krishna will think, well, if you can chant like this, I'm going to make you healthy. I'll give you the health you need to keep traveling and preaching all over the world. So I really tasted very, very, I, in that kirtan, when I was just calling out to Krishna, begging him for the mercy that I could continue to travel and preach. There was so much, it was very sweet, I can say. It was an extremely sweet feeling. I was just like a helpless child crying out to Krishna, begging him, through the kirtan, begging him that please let me continue doing these kirtans all over the world. And it was pretty sweet. What I felt in that mood of helplessness, that what can I do? If the body gets diseased, what can I do? You can only do so much. The doctors can only do so much. Ultimately, you're dependent on Krishna. Sometimes we get a little, sometimes certain things happen and we in a chant in a certain situation and it becomes mystical experience. It happens sometimes. Little sneak previews of what's lying ahead. Does that answer your question? All right. Any other questions? Yeah. Then we what?
If we chant the holy name without the...
Yeah, without offense.
Avoiding the 10 offenses. So it is guaranteed that we will get rid of lust and greed and...
That's right, you'll become purified of all the inertia. That's right.
Which is 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, that's guaranteed, yes. 100% guaranteed. Or double your money back. You pay $95, we'll give you 180... What is it? We'll give you double your money back. Festival theme, if it doesn't work. Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned that whatever Krishna does is good for us, but what about the feeling we at himself?
What's he saying?
Whatever Krishna does, it is good for
us,
but we sometimes act mystically according to our feeling.
Make mistake, that is not Krishna's doing.
So how can we
Yeah. When we make mistake, that's our nonsense. That's not Krishna's doing. We can't say whatever Krishna does is all right. Like that one Brahmacharini in L.A., and she put salt in the Charanamrita instead of sugar. And who's the first devotee to taste the Charanamrita? Prabhupada. So Prabhupada took the Charanamrita and he went, "It is salt." And they called her in, the Brahmacharini, and she was giggling. Krishna's arrangement, he doesn't work that way, you know. If things go right, that's Krishna's mercy. If things go wrong, that's your nonsense. Okay, next question. Yeah. That's right.
But shouldn't we be on the lookout guard against the modes of nature? Like, we chant, but be on the guard against the modes of nature?
Yeah, one has to always be watchful. Yeah. One should always be vigilant that material desires don't come in. We had an experience a couple of weeks ago. We were on Govardhan Parikrama. And we have a certain spot there just... When we passed the, what is that village? Aniyur village. After Radha Govindakund. There's a nice picnic spot there. Govardhan, the foot of Govardhan. But there's monkeys everywhere. You see. So we had our two brahmacharis, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu and Vajikishore Prabhu. We posted them with sticks as monkey guards, you see. And... sure enough, actually, a monkey broke through. They were super vigilant, but still a monkey broke through and grabbed something and ran from the prasadam in the middle of the meal. Huh?
I think they were not very vigilant about it.
Very what?
They weren't very vigilant about it.
They weren't vigilant. Our guards weren't vigilant enough. And actually, one monkey got through. We had monkey guards, but they let one monkey through. So... we have to be vigilant. And the monkey of Maya, you see, is trying to get in and steal our our consciousness away. Just like those monkeys in Vrindavan, they're just, you know, they're just looking. If you just turn your head for 1 second, they'll run in and grab. In just 1 second, you turn. So I took my turn. After the Brahmacharis guarded us, then we guarded while the Brahmacharis took their prasadam. But I stood there with that stick, and I was just like, you know, you know, they didn't get through when I was guarding. So we have to be very vigilant, always keeping a watchful eye that the material nature will not sneak in. Especially lust can steal. It is the most dangerous attraction, sex desire, you see. You start thinking of some beautiful girl enjoying her body, you know, or vice versa. These thoughts are very, very dangerous and destructive. So one has to always remember Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, texts numbers 62 and 63. Jayato vishayan pumsam sangat teshu bhajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodo bhajayate, krodat bhavati sang moha, sang mahat smriti vibrama, smriti brangshat buddhi nasho, buddhi nasho pranashyati. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger. From anger, delusion. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, bloop, one falls down again into the material pool. So you got to nip it in the bud. As soon as you see the mind getting a little fascinated by some idea of sense gratification, you have to say, my dear mind, wait a minute. This isn't very cool what you're doing right now. This is not beneficial for me. So you better stop it right now, mind. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, in the morning, give your mind a good whap 100 times with shoes. You see. In the evening, with broomstick 100 times. So in this way, you have to show your mind that you're the boss. The mind does not have free rein, carte blanche to go willy-nilly here and there all over the universe trying to enjoy this and enjoy that. No. You have to be the master over your mind. My dear mind, stop it. Fix yourself on Krishna. In this way, as soon as you see your mind going away from Krishna, immediately stop it and bring it back. In this way, train yourself. This is called mental discipline. Learn how to control your own mind. We teach you how to keep your mind completely under control 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That is the Bhakti Yoga system. It is more powerful mind control program than even that attained by those who are masters of the Ashtanga Yoga system, who can merge the incoming and the outgoing breaths, if you can imagine. What kind of discipline would be required to merge your incoming and outgoing breaths and suspend your breathing? Just imagine how advanced the Ashtanga yogis can become. But a master bhakti yogi, he's more powerful than the Ashtanga yogis, controlling his mind. He's always vigilant. Those monkeys are going to come in and steal the prasadam, you know, keep a good guard. You see, the Maya monkey will come and steal away your Krishna consciousness. Indriyanam hi charatam yanmano nu vidiyate tadasya harati bhyagyam aivayir navamivambasi. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. Just think of some, you know, tsunami coming in and some little boat just being completely smashed and destroyed by that tsunami. That's what can happen to our Krishna consciousness if we're not vigilant. Look what happened to Ajamil. He was a Pakka Brahmin boy, solidly fixed in Brahminical life. But his mind became fascinated. He saw that man and woman sexually embracing in the forest. He was thinking, I wonder what they were tasting, what pleasure they were tasting, having that illicit sexual combination that I witnessed. I wonder what they were experiencing. He became curious, and they completely destroyed him. That thought completely destroyed him. He didn't beat his mind down with higher intelligence, but it's just simply illusory. It's like scratching an itch. It just makes it worse. He didn't apply his knowledge. He forgot the knowledge and just became too much curious. What is that pleasure of illicit sex anyway? And his whole life was destroyed. Luckily, he named his son Narayan, and that saved him when the Yamadutas came. So any other questions? We have 5 minutes left. Is there any other questions? The ladies back there have any questions? Yes. Yes, this Prabhupada taught us to chant on this finger here. So, he never told us why, but we know that this finger is so much taboo that for chanting that we stick, there's a hole in the bead bag to get it out of the bead bag even. I remember one of my godbrothers, he told me when he was traveling in India, he saw one Brahmana, South Indian Brahmin who are very much into the Brahminical rules, even taking prasadam, he wouldn't touch, he would eat like this. He wouldn't use this finger. Considered dirty finger. It's like the left hand is dirty, this is also dirty. So this Brahmin would eat prasad like this. See? Of course, another vrut is not to even touch the mouth. That's another vrut. Just throw through the air into the mouth. That's another vrut. We can't do all these vruts, but at least we can do this vrut of not chanting our japa here. That much vrut we can handle. Put this one through the hole in the bead bag. In the northern countries, sometimes they make special bead bags with a little pocket. In very frigid northern regions, it's so cold when you stick your finger out of the bead bag, you can get frostbite. You see, this finger can get frostbitten. So they make special bead bags that have a little pocket that hangs out for that finger, you know, in the northern regions, like northern Europe and places like that, North America, so Canada or whatever. Any other questions? Well, we got 3 minutes. Let's use it fruitfully. Well, this bhajan here is very nice. Another one, bhajan about the chanting of the holy name. Let's see. Question?
They are talking about this material desires, but if we doubt in everything to the Krishna service, talk about that, do they? Doubting all these, I mean, if we have some material desires, but if we can
to the Krishna's service,
how is it?
What she's saying?
No, what she's saying is, if we have some material
desires,
doubting between Krishna's service.
Will Krishna fulfill them?
No.
Doubting in Krishna's service.
You use that desire for Krishna.
You have some desire to serve, just like I desire to keep traveling?
No, yeah. Material desire. Yes, material desire. She's saying if one has material desire, can we dovetail to Krishna's service? Material things dovetail.
Well, the safest position is always say, Krishna, just do whatever you want to do with me. That's the safest position.
But Prabhupada said, we can dovetail everything in Krishna's service.
Yeah.
So even if our material, that's in our no material desire, it means if you have material desires, you dovetail in Krishna's service.
Well, let's say somebody likes to write poetry, for example. Before they were devotee, they were a poet, and they just really loved to write poetry. I mean, they loved it, you know, put together the words in clever ways, you know, they're just addicted to writing poetry. Well, they can write Krishna conscious poetry. That's an example. Or, you know, somebody just really wanted to have a family, for example. You know, so they can become married in Krishna consciousness and raise Krishna conscious children, have a nice husband and wife relationship and raise children. So there's many. We always say that you don't have to stop anything. Just whatever talent you have, use it for Krishna. You don't have to kill your talent. Use it for Krishna. That is a part of our Krishna conscious philosophy. Yat karoshi yad shnasi, yad jahosi dadasi, yat yat tapashashi kondaya, tat kadushva badarpadam. What was Arjuna's talent? He was talented as a warrior. And he was thinking, well, I'll give up my talent and just meditate. But no, Krishna said, you use your talent in my service. So we don't say, give up your talents. Whatever talent you have, use that for Krishna. That is our philosophy. Does that answer your question?
At the same time, Maharaj, like, we have to be vigilant, like whether it's material desire for me, or it's because many times if we are marginal in material, more towards material desire for our own.
Well, that's why we have guru, that's why we have Vaishnavas. They can advise us. Well, I think you're going too far in this. I think you need to balance it a little, you know, with surrender. We have a guru, we have senior devotees who can advise us. If we, you know, I have a certain inclination to act in a certain way, I can use that for Krishna, but I have to be careful that I do it properly so it's actually for Krishna and not just for myself. To make sure it's actually, you know, for Krishna. If something is utilized properly in Krishna's service, then it's very good. But it's being improperly used, and that can be an impediment for my advancement. So that's why we have guru, that's why we have Vaishnavas. They can help us to properly utilize our material tendencies in Krishna's service. Actually, the spiritual master, he wants to see how he can utilize the talents and inclinations of his disciples in Krishna's service. And the temple managers also. That is meant to be their vision. How can I engage this person according to his propensity to act in this world? But from the servant's side, he should think, whatever Krishna wants me to do, it's okay. I can do anything. Not that I will do service if I can do this. If I can do this service, I'll be a devotee. And if I can't do this service, I won't be a devotee, you see. No. Devotee should not think like that. He should think, whatever Krishna wants me to do, you see, I will accept. And then Krishna will see your surrendered mood and say, all right, now you have this talent, use it for me. But I see that you're willing to do anything for me. We have to be willing to do anything for Krishna. Whether it's my propensity or not my propensity. That, from our side, we have to have that mood. But Krishna, when he sees that mood, then he'll be inclined to give his facility to serve according to our propensity. You understand? All right, so our time is up now in this session. And yes? Oh, yeah, that one businessman. He said, we encourage them that you can give the proceeds from your first sale every day to Krishna. And this would be a great blessing upon you. And so he said, yes, very good. So every day he would take the proceeds from the first sale and put it in the Krishna box. And then one day he went to collect the box and he said, oh, I gave it to my brother. My brother is Krishna. So it's not like that, you see. We have to actually utilize for Krishna's pleasure. We have to see that Krishna is actually pleased, not that I just do it for my own satisfaction. If I want to serve in a particular way, that's all right. But let me see how to do it in such a way that Krishna is factually pleased by that service. That we should see. It's not wrong to be attracted to a certain type of service. I would like to do this type of service. That's all right. But then make sure you do it in such a way that pleases Krishna. That's the important thing. Because no matter what service we may take, we still have to surrender our false egos and become humble. That's going to happen whatever service you're in, even if it's some service that you were materially inclined to do previously. Still, you're going to have to learn how to give up your false ego and become humble in that service. So in any service, we have to learn how to give up the false ego and become humble. Okay, anything else? All right, we'll stop here. Now the program continues. You can announce, there'll be another class here in this room. We'll be going into the flip side of the offenses. What are the offenses and what is the flip of the offense? How you can positively engage so that offense will not happen. We'll go through all the 10 offenses. It'll be a very helpful class for anyone who would like to become a pure devotee and see Krishna face to face. So that discussion will begin, that will go from 2:30 to 4. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Japa meditation retreat ki jai.
Great Sankarshan Prabhu ki jai.